Good. Okay, so we're Missionary Enterprises. Today is, we're on Skype once again. We're doing Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, podcast, live streaming with our brothers and sisters out with Busia in Busia, Kenya, Africa, with Jesus Reigns Forever Ministries. Hallelujah. Good stuff. So today, it's April 19th. Today we call it Good Friday. And the teaching is not on Good Friday, though. But I was sharing with our audience in Busia via Skype, or now we're doing actually Messenger today, is that the Good Friday is about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that we were crucified with him. So it's not just about his crucifixion, it's about our crucifixion. Because when he was crucified, we were crucified, right? Yeah. So that when he raised from the dead, we were raised up with him from the dead, right? And then when he ascended, we ascended. And then when he sat down at the right hand of majesty, we sat down with him, right? Yeah, huh? All right, so that's called victory. Amen. Okay, so key topic today. Got all your paper? Got your paper? Key topic is what? Deception, error, and falsehood. All right. What a great topic. This is one of my favorite topics. Okay, so let's read the introduction together. Let's read number A together. In the Bible, there are many references to deception, error, falsehood, seduction, etc. in the church compared to in the world, because the world is already deceived. See, the world's already deceived. We know the world's already deceived, right? Yeah. So the Bible talks a lot about deception in the church. In the church. And we're the church, okay? So we're going to learn some things today. We're going to learn some things today. So let's read on B. Let's read on B. B. Some of the greatest instances of deception I've come across over the years can be found in religious circles, including the church world. Religion, as well as spirituality, are two of the greatest realms where you will find deception, because many people, out of despair as well as out of sheer ignorance, turn to these two, looking for significance and meaning to life. A lot of people are turning towards religion. A lot of people are turning towards spirituality, looking for greater meaning in their lives. Yeah. Okay. So number C. In order to protect ourselves, as well as others, from all forms of deception, we will need to know what the Word of God has to say about these things alongside the help of the indwelling Spirit. The Holy Spirit, with His Word, He will help us in this whole realm of deception so that we don't become deceived ourselves, and also that we don't deceive others. You know, it's one thing to be deceived, but it's a whole different thing when you're deceiving others. And I don't want to be deceived, neither do I want to deceive anybody else, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. D, last point. These verses must become extremely relevant for us today, as they were when they were first given to the early church. One of the reasons why deception is so rampant in the church today is because we've neglected this whole theme or realm to our own demise. demise. So the problem is, when we don't know what the Word says about deception, then we've got nothing to guard ourselves, safeguard ourselves against deception. So we need to know what the Word of God says about deception. Okay? So I just wrote here from number E, before we turn the page, before, I just wrote here, anybody looking for truth, usually anybody looking for truth, the devil will make sure that you're looking for truth in the wrong direction, in the wrong places. Yeah, that's why people are looking for truth. They're looking for truth in Islam. They're looking for truth in Catholicism. They're looking for truth in Mormonism. They're looking for truth in Jehovah's Witnesses. They're looking for truth in New Age. They're looking for truth in yoga. Looking for truth in all the wrong places. Yeah, Seventh-day Adventists. Yeah. Yeah. So we, who have the truth, we need to help people find the truth, right? That's part of the Great Commission. Right? All right. So let's turn the page now. And let's start with Matthew 24:4. Ready? Matthew 24:4. All right. So Jesus answered them, "Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error." Okay, so my comment is no one, not one person. Jesus said, make sure that not even one person is misleading you. Not even one. Doesn't matter who it is. Not one. Meaning, it's not God's will for us to be misled at all. It is not God's will for us, His children, to be misled by anybody. Okay? Number 5, verse 5. "For many will come in on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, and they will lead many astray." Yeah. Let's move on to Matthew 24:11. Matthew 24:11. "And many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error." So false prophets rising up, deceiving and leading many into error. False prophets. Matthew 24:24. Yeah, next verse. "For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will show great signs and wonders so as to deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect." So here it says, great signs and wonders. Great signs and wonders. So we've got a movement in the church today where you've got Christians that are looking simply for signs and wonders. That's all they're looking for. They want to see signs and wonders. So when these false prophets start doing their signs and wonders, their false signs and wonders, they're going to be deceived. They're going to be easily deceived. Last verse, last reference here on page 2 is Mark 13. Verse 1. Yeah. "And Jesus began to tell them, be careful and watchful that no one misleads you." Yeah. About it, yeah. So this goes back to what it says in Matthew 24:4. Not letting one person deceive you. I wrote the wrong verse there. It shouldn't have been verse 1. It should have been verse 5. But that's okay. We fix it. Okay, turn the page. Turn the page. Verse 6. "Many will come in appropriating to themselves the name of Messiah, which belongs to me, Jesus, basing their claims on the use of my name, saying I am he, and they will mislead many. Yeah, and we've seen that in the history of the church over the years. We've seen that where people are saying, I'm the Christ, I'm Jesus. And even lately, we've seen that on the news in the United States. We've had a man saying that he's the Messiah. Yeah. So, and we're going to have more of that. There's going to be more. Yeah, and we need to be ready for that. Next verse, Mark 13, 22. False Christ. Mark 13, 22. Follow the pages. False Christ, messiahs, false prophets will arise and show signs and work miracles to deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect, those God has chosen out for himself. Yeah. Let's move on to Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Luke 21, 8. Chapter 21, verse 8. Be on your guard and be careful that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, appropriating to themselves the name Messiah, which belongs to me, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. So the comment is here, Jesus said, be on your guard. We need to be on our guard. Yeah. And we need to teach that. We need to teach that more and more in local churches, that God's people need to do what they need to do to be on their guard against deception. They need to be on their guard. Corinthians. Let's go down to Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 18. Let no person deceive himself. If anyone among you supposes that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool. Let him discard his worldly discernment and recognize himself as a dull, stupid, and foolish without true learning and scholarship, that he may become really wise. That they may become wise. You guys need to read faster. Can you read faster a little bit? Anyhow, my comment is here. He says, let no one deceive himself. That's called self-deception. Self-deception. Meaning, it's not somebody else that's deceiving you. That means you're deceiving yourself. Yeah. I probably say that's great. One of the greatest forms of deception is when you're deceiving your own heart. All right. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoer will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, misled, neither the impure and immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who participate in homosexuality. Yeah. So we've got all kinds of people in the church today practicing all kinds of immorality, and they still think they're going to get into the kingdom when they die. They think they're going to get into the kingdom. But the Bible said that they're not going to get into the kingdom. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's why it said, don't be deceived. Don't be misled. Don't be deceived. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Right at the bottom of the page. so deceived and misled, evil companionship, communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and characters. If you think that you can associate yourself with people that are not living for God, and if you think that you're not going to be affected by them, then you're deceived, it says right here. You're going to be deceived and misled in thinking that. Yeah.
All right.
Page four. Turn the page. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 2. Yeah, at the top of the page. We have renounced disgraceful ways, secret thoughts, feelings, desires, and underhandedness, the methods and arts that men hide through shame. We refuse to deal in craftily, to practice trickery and cunning, or to adulterate or handle dishonestly the word of God. But we state the truth openly, clearly, and candidly, and so we commend ourselves in the sight and presence of God to every man's conscience. Yeah. So, I've said this many times before, but in the Bible, in Timothy, it says to rightly divide the word of truth and not wrongly dividing it. So we've got people in the church that are on purpose wrongly dividing the word of truth. They're not teaching the word of God appropriately, according to the Holy Spirit. And because of that, they're misleading people. They're misleading people. They're misleading God's people. That's not good. All right. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. Yeah, for such men are false apostles, spurious counterfeits, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles, special messengers of Christ. Yeah. Next chapter, next verse is verse 26, the same chapter. Many times on journeys, exposed to perils from rivers, perils from bandits, perils from my own nation, perils from the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the desert places, perils in the sea, perils from those posing as believers. Wow. But destitute of Christian knowledge and piety. So here Paul talks about perils from those posing as believers, pretending to be Christians, but they're not. But they're not. Galatians. Let's move on to Galatians. No, chapter 2. Verse 4. My precaution was because of false brethren who had been secretly smuggled in to the Christian brotherhood. They had slipped in to spy on our liberty and the freedom which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might again bring us into bondage under the law of Moses. You know, you're going to have believers in the church that they're going to try to infiltrate local assemblies, especially the small churches, to see what's going on, and in doing so, they're going to try to infiltrate so that they can start bringing their heresies, bringing in their false interpretations in order to destroy that local congregation. That's what they do. That's what they want to do. That's what the enemy wants to do when people are gathering together. I've never had that happen to me. But I've heard stories where people would show up and God would warn them beforehand, saying that, be on your guard of this person. This person does not have the right motives in joining your group, especially when it comes to home churches. Yeah. All right. Galatians chapter 6. Yeah. So, if any person thinks himself to be somebody too important to condescend to shoulder another's load when he is nobody of superiority except in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. Yeah. And that's what pride does, right? When you think you're better than somebody else, you're deluding yourself. When you think you're better to help somebody that's not as strong as you, then you're deluding yourself. Because we all need one another. We need to help one another, right? But the thing is, though, we need to help those who want to get help. It's hard to help somebody who doesn't want help. Have you ever tried to help somebody who doesn't want your help? It's impossible. Exactly. It's next to impossible. Yeah. All right. Verse 7. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, and mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. And that's what I've said before. Whatever you sow in your life, whatever you sow, the decisions you make, you will reap the consequences. If you make right decisions, you will reap good consequences. If you make bad decisions in life, there are bad consequences. Right? Right. Ephesians. Let's move on to Ephesians 4, verse 14. 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery, in inventing errors to mislead. So Paul says that we have to stop being like children. Children, I've said this before, children believe anything their parents say. They believe everything. But when they start growing up, if we keep believing whatever everybody says, then we're still acting like a child. Right? So when we start growing up, we should start to discern between truth and error. What is right? What is wrong? Right? That's what godly parenting is all about. Teaching your children, don't do that, don't do this, don't say that because it's bad, right? And that's what we need in the church too. It's called raising up spiritual sons and daughters, right? Spiritual parenting, spiritual fathers and mothers. Turn the page. Ephesians 4, 22. Yeah. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, your BC days, and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. That is why we have a lot of deception in the church today, is because the old man has not been put off and the new man has not been put on through mind renewal. The Bible says that we need to put off the old man. And when we put off the old man by renewing our mind, That's when we're going to end up putting on the new man. And once you put on the new man, there's no deception in the new man. There is none. It's impossible. Because the new man is Christ. Okay, chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verse 6. No one delude and deceive you with many empty excuses and groundless arguments, for these sins, for through these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of rebellion and disobedience. Yeah, so I believe when he's talking about here the sons of rebellion and disobedience, he's not talking about the people in the world. He's talking about Christians, his sons and daughters that have rebelled and are disobeying him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies, plain nonsense, following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world, just crude notions following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ. Okay, so let's move on here to 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians have come. And the man of lawlessness of sin is revealed, who is the son of doom of perdition. So here we are, Paul is saying once again, to not let no one, not one person, deceive or beguile you in any way, shape or form. Okay, same chapter, verse 10. And by unlimited seduction to evil and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, going to perdition, because they did not welcome the truth but refused to love it that they might be saved. So the more we reject truth, the more we delude ourselves, the more we fall into deception simply by refusing or ignoring the truth. Jesus said himself that you will know the truth and the truth will make you free, right? Is that what he said? Okay, good. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman who was deceived and deluded and fell into transgression. That brings us back to Genesis chapter 3. We're not going to go there today, but I've been spending more time in Genesis chapter 3, chapter 2 in the last couple years now to understand what God had promised Adam, what God told Adam, and how the serpent came in, beguiled Eve, and understanding why we are the way we are today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs. Yeah, so I've heard many people saying that it's money. It's money. No, it's not money. It's the love of money. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. You know, you can have You can be the richest man in this earth and still not love money. You can. You believe that? You can have all the money in this earth and still not love it. That's what God wants us to live. That's what God wants us to have. When you learn to walk, when you learn to walk in the new man and no longer in the old man, then God will be able to trust you with a lot of things. Because He knows that you'll be doing the right things with it. Understand that? God is not the one withholding from us. He's not the one withholding riches from us. We are the ones who are stopping God from blessing us. Amen. Verse 20. Right at the bottom. O Timothy, guard and keep the deposit entrusted to you. Turn away from the irreverent babble and godless chatter, with the vain and empty and worldly phrases, and the subtleties and the contradictions in what is falsely called knowledge and spiritual illumination. They had that problem back then 2,000 years ago, and we've got the same problem today. The more I read Facebook, the more I'm on newsfeed on Facebook, I see a lot of things being said that is basically called knowledge or spiritual illumination, but you know what? It's worthless. It's worthless. Turn the page. Page 6. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 13. Okay, but wicked men and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and leading astray others, and being deceived and led astray themselves. You can't deceive somebody else unless you're being deceived yourself. That's impossible. The only way that you can deceive somebody else is if you yourself are being deceived first and foremost. Titus, let's move on to Titus. Chapter 1, verse 10. For there are many disorderly and unruly men who are idle, vain and empty, and misleading talkers, and self-deceivers, and deceivers of others. This is true, especially of those of the circumcision party who have come over from Judaism. Yeah, so we've got misleading talkers, self-deceivers, and deceiving others. Like I just said, in order to deceive somebody else, you've got to be deceived yourself, in most cases. Now the devil, he deceives people, but he already knows that he's doing that on purpose. He knows he's wrong. He's doing it on purpose. The devil is not self-deceived. He knows what he's doing. On purpose, he is deceiving people from the truth. Titus, chapter 3. Verse 3, for we also were once thoughtless and senseless, obstinate, disobedient, deluded and misled. We too were once slaves to all sorts of cravings and pleasures, wasting our days in malice, jealousy, envy, detestable, and hating one another. So this is why I've got ways to grow on this myself. When I know somebody is misleading somebody, I have to remember that I did this at one time before I got saved. I was misleading people in some ways. Not as a preacher, but I was misleading people. Because we've all been there. We've all said things that were wrong. We've all said that things that were not true before we got saved, even after we got saved. When I started to share the gospel at work, I said some things back then that I wish I never said, that were not true. I heard it from another preacher, and I shared that with the guys at work, and then later on I found out the preacher was wrong, so I was wrong. I did it out of ignorance, but it's still wrong. Still wrong. Okay, let's move on to the Epistle of Hebrews. Hebrews. Verse 10. And so I was provoked, displeased, and sorely grieved with that generation, and said, they always err and are led astray in their hearts. And they have not perceived or recognized my ways and become progressively better and more experimentally and intimately acquainted with them. So I said here, my comment is here, deception always begins in the heart or in the mind of man. That's where deception begins. It's in the heart. It's in the mind. That's why we've got to guard our hearts and we've got to guard our minds. That's why Paul says, put on the helmet of salvation to guard yourself against deception. Verse 13. Yeah. But instead, warn, admonish, urge, and encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened into subtle rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, by the fraudulence, the stratagem, the trickery, which the delusive glamour of his sin may play on him. Sin is very deceitful. In Hebrews, it says that there's pleasure to sin. There's pleasure to sin, but it's only for a season. You like my cup? You like my cup? It's got a jet. It's got a plane. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. James. Let's go to James. James 1:16. Do not be misled, my beloved brethren. Very simple. Don't be misled. Don't be misled. Yeah. Turn to page. Page 7. Yes, warning. Warning. James 1:22. But be doers of the word. Obey the message and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Yeah. Verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, piously observant of the external duties of his faith, and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is worthless, futile, and barren. There it is again. Deluding your own heart. Deluding your own heart. James 5:19. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and falls into error, and another person brings him back to God. See? Now let's stop there. Let's just stop there. So falling into error, if we see a brother falling into error, we should be willing to help him to get out of his error. Right? That's what we should try to do. if I ever fall into error, I won't. I better not. But if I ever fall into error, I hope somebody's going to help me get out of my error. If I fall into error, I hope Gabriel gets on his jet and he's going to fly over to Toronto and get into a car and drive over to my house and spank me. Yeah. Yeah, spank me real hard. Spank me. Spank. Yeah, spank. They're all spanking each other. All right. All right. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2:1. But also in those days, there arose false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among yourselves, who will subtly and stealthily introduce heretical doctrines, destructive heresies, even denying and disowning the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So one of the key words is here, is among yourselves, among your own people, among your own. And I didn't write it down. I didn't write it down here, but if you go back, not tonight, but if you go back to Acts 20, chapter 20, verse 29 to 30, Paul talks about the same thing. Among yourselves, among one another, you'll have false teachers. You'll have false doctrines among yourselves. Yeah. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2, this time it's verse 13. Verse 13. Being destined to receive punishment as the reward of their unrighteousness, suffering wrong as the hire for their wrongdoing, they counted the delight to revel in the daytime, living luxuriously and delicately. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions and carousing together even as they feast with you. Imagine that, having people around you reveling in their own deception. I've never seen that before, and I personally, I don't want to see it. 2 Peter, right at the bottom of the page. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Let me warn you, therefore, beloved, that knowing these things beforehand, you should be on your guard, lest you be carried away by the error of lawless and wicked persons, and fall from your own present firm condition, your own steadfastness of mind. So here's a warning. Once again, that's what Gabriel just said, right? These are all warnings. These are all warnings. Yeah, warnings to the believers. Warning to those who have been born again. Warnings to those who are born of incorruptible seed. Turn to page. Page 8. Two more pages, we're done. 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, refusing to admit that we are sinners, we delude and lead ourselves astray, and the truth which the gospel presents is not in us, does not dwell in our hearts. Let's move on. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Let no one deceive you and lead you astray. He who practices righteousness, who is upright, conforming to the divine will and purpose, thought and action, living a consistently conscientious life, is righteous, even as he is righteous. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove, test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God, for many false prophets have gone forth into the world. same chapter, verse 6. We are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God progressively, to perceive, recognize, and understand God by observation and experience, and to get an ever clearer knowledge of Him, listens to us. And who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know and recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is a spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, and in the world there is a spirit of error. So the spirit of truth will lead you to all the truth, Jesus said, but the spirit of error will lead you into what? The truth? No. He will lead you into error. Right? Can the spirit of error lead you into the truth? No, it's impossible. It's impossible. All right. 2 John, chapter 7. Yeah, there's no chapters. For many imposters, seducers, deceivers, and false leaders have gone out into the world. Men who will not acknowledge, confess, admit the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in bodily form. Such a one is the imposter, the seducer, the deceiver, the false leader, the antagonist of Christ, and the Antichrist. You know, the word Antichrist is made up of two words, right? You got the word anti, and you got the word Christ. So the word anti means against, but it also means in the place of. Not only against Christ, but in the place of Christ. All right, let's move on to Revelation. We're going to wrap it up with the book of Revelation, the epistle of Revelation. Chapter 12, verse 9. And the huge dragon was cast down and out, that age-old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, he who is the seducer, deceiver of all humanity, the world over, he was forced out and down to the earth, and his angels were flung out along with him. So that's talking about the fall of Lucifer. Remember? When he disobeyed God. And God, what did he do? Boom! Out! Get out! Now we're stuck with him. That's okay. That's why God gave us the armor of God. So we have victory over him. Revelation 13:14. And because of the signs, miracles, which he is allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast, he deceives those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue and image in the likeness of the beast who was wounded by the small sword and still lived. Last page, page 9. We'll wrap it up here. Chapter 18. Verse 23. Never again shall the light of a lamp shine in you, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall never be heard in you again. For your businessmen were the great and the prominent men of the earth, and by your magic spells and poisonous charm, all nations were led astray, seduced, and deluded. Chapter 19, verse 20. Ready? And the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet, who is in his presence, had worked wonders and performed miracles by which he led us astray, those who had accepted or permitted to be placed upon them the stamp, the mark of the beast, and those who paid homage and gave divine honors to a statue, both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. The lake of fire. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. Does anybody there want to go to the lake of fire? No, I hope not. I know it's hot in Africa. I've been to Africa, but believe me, the lake of fire is going to be a whole lot hotter than Africa. All right. I said, I know it's hot in Africa, but I said the lake of fire is going to be a whole lot hotter than Africa. All right. Okay. So where are we here? Chapter 20? Chapter 20, verse 3. Then he hurled, am I in the right place? Then he hurled him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and closed it and sealed it above him so that he should no longer lead astray and deceive and to seduce the nations until 1,000 years were at an end. After that, he must be liberated for a short time. Well, I hope he's only liberated for only a couple minutes. I don't know what a short time is, but I don't know what that's going to look like, but we need to get ready for that. Verse 8. 8. And he will go forth to deceive and seduce and lead astray the nations. Verse 8. Yeah. And he will go forth to deceive and seduce and lead astray the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to muster them for war. Their number is like the sand of the sea. Yeah, I believe that's Armageddon. Anyhow, I could be wrong. Verse 10, last verse. Then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. Imagine that. Imagine that. Lucifer, having been created by God, being God's top archangel, and because of what he did back in heaven, before God created mankind, this is the outcome of Lucifer being hurled into the lake of fire to be tormented forever. So don't come and tell me that there's no consequences. There is a law of sowing and reaping. And each one of us are susceptible to that law of sowing and reaping, working for you or working against you. So, I just want to thank my, first of all, before we close, Gabriel, I just want to thank my live stream audience. We want to thank you for watching us. I know it's been a busy day for a lot of people because it's Good Friday, but we're going to make a YouTube video out of this. So, I want to thank you for live stream audience. I want to thank you for all those who respond to my to my Mission Enterprise posts, my comments, the videos. I want to also thank everybody who's connecting with me on Twitter, LinkedIn, and even Instagram. And we look forward to seeing you once again. And I want to thank you for your time. Shalom.